Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Marriott has a new name for its rewards program now that it has combined with Starwood. And all that rain and snow we had earlier in the week is wreaking havoc on the East Coast. If you are flying tonight or tomorrow, check with your airline for cancellations and travel waivers.
The partial government shutdown is hitting the travel industry harder in some places than others. And in our Smarter Travelers segment, coming up at 3:20, our TSA friends stop by to update us on how the Sacramento Airport is faring so far.
Ever wonder what road warriors, people who travel for a living, pack when they are leaving home for nearly 3 weeks down under? Or how they survive that killer plane flight in each direction? At 3:35, Clayton Whitehead joins us to answer those very questions before he departs on just such a trip next week.
We lost a Broadway legend this past week, Carol Channing, who will forever be known as Dolly, passed away. And at 3:50, we connect with Sacramento's own Mr. Theater, Richard Lewis, for a personal memory or two of an entertainment legend.
Pretty impressive lineup, if I do say so myself. Thank you for taking the time to join us. We are Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Welcome. It's Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys, here every Sunday, 3 to 4, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And don't forget now, follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. Links to all the stuff we talk about and other stuff that we don't talk about. You can find it there.
I'm the traveler. You be the entertainer, okay?
Okay. That's exactly what it is, you know. People
You're a lifetime radio guy, so yeah. You're definitely the entertainer.
I have no time to travel because I'm entertaining and keeping an eye on you while you travel. Welcome back. You've been gone a lot.
Thank you.
And you were off to San Francisco to see
Come From Away. Yeah.
See, I got it right this time. Come From Away. Not that other thing I
said. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Whatever that was.
Saw the show yesterday. My third time to see it. First time in San Francisco. Just awesome. You know, Tom, something happened during the show. They, about 20 minutes before the end, there's no intermission in this show. It's an hour and 40 minutes. So about 20 minutes before the end, they work off of this rotating turntable in the center of the stage, and they have a dozen chairs, and the chairs move around with the turntable, and that creates different scenes in the show, and the turntable broke.
Uh-oh.
And it stopped turning. Mm-hmm. And so announcement came, there's a technical problem, actors please leave the stage. And so we're all sitting there, you know, somebody says, well, yeah, the turntable seems to be broken. And so after about 10 minutes or so, they got it working again. And they picked up, and I thought, well, you know, they're 20 minutes from the end of the show. This is going to kill the whole thing.
Right, the momentum.
The momentum of any theater performance would go right down the tubes. And do you know what? The show is so good. And remember our guy Kevin Carolyn, who was on with us last week,
right, yep,
who played the male lead, Claude. They are so good at what they do that in 20 minutes they were able to put the whole thing back together and get exactly the audience back to where they'd been before.
Amazing.
So that's really professional actors. And plus, with the Women's March yesterday, we got the opportunity to walk half a dozen blocks through the Tenderloin. And anybody who's been to San Francisco knows that a walking tour of the Tenderloin on your way to the theater is really a life experience. You're bound to see some characters of the like that you've not seen before.
There you go. Ain't that the truth? All right. Well, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And there's a lot of that. And let's get to it, Mark.
Well, there is. Marriott Rewards is becoming Marriott Bonvoy. And you think to yourself, what does that kind of sound like?
I know. When I saw that in my email, because I'm one of those guys.
Yeah.
I thought,
you're
well,
a carpetbagger. You're a Starwood guy who came into the program. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I won. You know, they didn't even consult me on coming up with that name or nothing.
Bonvoy.
Bonvoy.
Well, that's really kind of cool because a couple weeks ago, somebody got a leaked email somewhere on one of the travel sites, and they said, the Marriott program is going to be called Bonvoy. And Marriott said, I don't think so. I don't think so. It turned out the guy was right. He had the information he had was really cool. So they're going to make, if you're in the higher tiers there, they're making some change, some name changes. I doubt that will benefit you in any way. Here's something that won't benefit you. Marriott is coming up with a new Tier 8 with award prices as high as 100,000 points a night, which becomes effective with the start of the new membership year on March the 1st. So if there's a Marriott hotel that's really top tier that you want to stay in, do it in February because it's probably going to cost more money in March.
If I'm going to do it at all, I'm going to have to, you know, like go to you. My rewards level is, you know, it starts at zero. And then there's some negative ones. I'm down minus
dirt and
minus
the,
three.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Bad storm. We mentioned in the headlines, over 4,000 flights have been canceled as of 10:30 this morning. Over 1,300 of those today. Lots more delays. Again, this was several hours ago, so no doubt this has probably piled up some more. This is the weather that was here earlier in the week. So if you are flying tonight or tomorrow, the weather will have mostly moved on tomorrow, but here's what happens. Planes and flight crews and everything get so discombobulated in something like this that lasts 2-3 days. It takes a day to get everybody back and get a restart. So that's kind of where we're at. So if you're flying tonight or tomorrow, make sure that you get on the app or call your airline. And if you see a travel waiver, then pay attention to that, because that means what they're doing is offering you the option to reschedule a few days later, a week later, a month later, and not have it cost you anything. And also, always want to tell people, keep in mind about your connecting airport, because you may be flying to Nashville, Tennessee from Sacramento, and you say, well, the weather's fine in Sacramento and the weather's fine in Nashville, I'll be okay. But where are you connecting? And you might be connecting at O'Hare or Denver or someplace that's prone to snow. So they're de-icing or something, your plane's late, you miss your connection. So just pay attention. It's what you need to do when you're in these situations with the weather. Did you know, we were talking a little bit about this before we went on the air, you know, Muhammad Ali, the greatest boxer of all time,
right,
was
yes,
deathly afraid of flying.
You mentioned that before we went on, and I don't know I didn't know that.
He got on a regional flight apparently in the late 50s, and from when he was still Cassius Clay, from Louisville up to Chicago, and it was a little twin propeller job back in those days. That's only about a 45-minute flight, and it was in a storm, and it went all over the place. In fact, apparently one of the seats came, it was so wild that one of the seats came off of its hinges. Eesh. And so Cassius became Muhammad. They had a hell of a time getting him on an airplane, and his people had to explain to him, you're never going to be the heavyweight champion of the world if you can't go around the world and you can't get there on a train. Mm-hmm. So he had to really convince himself. So the reason this is an important story is because the city of Louisville has decided to name their airport after Muhammad Ali.
All right.
So how ironic that a man who was scared to death of flying, and they said, well, we knew that, but we decided that, you know, this is one of the biggest places in town. Everybody comes here. Everybody will see his name. He's our favorite son, and so we want people to know that he was from here. So
that's awesome.
The Louisville Airport will be the Muhammad Ali Louisville Airport. And in our salacious news story of the day, you get on a cruise ship, okay?
Okay, I'm on the cruise ship.
Your cabin is 311. So you 311. Go up to 311, you open the door, and what do you find?
I open the door, and I find a party going on.
Well, kind of, sort of. One of the crew members and some unidentified lady are having whoopee, they're naked.
In my 311.
In your 311 when you get there. This is what happened to a couple of folks who were going from Singapore to Thailand, Bobby and Mary Jackson. She says, I was horrified. I immediately closed the door again. she says, we're not prudes, but this is ridiculous. So they offered them a £100 credit, who's departing from an English port, to spend on the cruise.
And clean sheets.
And, they did. That's the ironic thing, is that they didn't have any other cabins available on the ship. And so,
or any other sheets.
Where they had to stay. Yeah, that's exciting. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the travel and entertainment guys. Make no mistake about it. Follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. Two of our favorite guests have arrived, and we're going to talk about what's going on with the TSA, with all of the government shutdown and all of that from the guys themselves. That's next here on The Travel Guys.
To the place I belong.
It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, as always.
You ever been to West Virginia?
Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. You have to let me finish.
I'm sorry.
A plug for your company.
Well, John Denver was talking about West Virginia there. It's not on the top of everybody's, you know, travel list.
No, but I have played that song hundreds of times in clubs when I was one of those musician types.
I see.
Did the John Denver thing.
You've had many lifetimes.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
Someday we'll have to dedicate part of the program to talking about your different lifetimes.
No, I don't want to do that. Here. Anyway, as you were, North Carolina.
Okay. West Virginia, I was talking about there. I've been there. It's a nice, people are nice there. The cost of living is a lot cheaper.
Introduce our guests, please.
Yes, sir. Before I introduce Sid and Dale here from the Transportation Security Administration, am I getting that right? TSA?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. We always call it TSA. It's like KFC. Nobody says Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore. So partial government shutdown is starting to impact the hotel industry in some cities. Washington, D.C., for example. Of course, if people are not doing business in Washington, then a lot of people are not going to go there to talk to the people who are doing business, and therefore a lot of hotel rooms are not going to get filled. As one of the hotel folks in D.C. said, if you don't go to Disney if the rides are closed. And so the fact that the museums and stuff in Washington, D.C. are closed means that a lot of people who had the plans to be in D.C. during the off season, which generally is a good time to be there, because of the crowds or the lack thereof, are finding people who would normally be going to lobby about certain issues in Washington, D.C. Those things are shut down or there's uncertainty. Why, then they're not going to be going. So this is starting to become a problem. Of course, as we already know from government folks who are not getting a check and the places that they patronize are having a problem. So now you can add to that places that tourists would patronize normally, because if the tourists are not there, then they're not buying food and beverage in the bar or at the hotel, and they're not going across the street to Carl's Jr. to get a burger, and they're not going down the street to their favorite restaurant. So there you go. TSA acknowledges financial stress of shutdown is forcing growing number of officers to stay home. I saw today that that Baltimore shut down one of its checkpoints early today. They had done that previously. Dale and Sid, you mentioned that Atlanta is still having some struggles. So please welcome Dale Keller and Sid Hanna from the TSA. I forgot you guys' titles.
Ah, well, Sid's the federal security director, and I'm the assistant federal security director.
I see. Okay. So. Okay. Thank you for clearing all of that up. Welcome, guys, back to the Travel Guys. How are things going? If I'm getting ready to fly in Sacramento Tuesday morning, which I am, and then I've got a group going out on Wednesday and another one going out on Saturday, so what can we expect?
Well, you know, I would love to say it's business as usual, but it's not. However, I would say at Sacramento, we're doing very well. Obviously, all airports, our airport included, does have a higher average of unscheduled absences, sick calls, but Sacramento is actually doing very well. We work closely with our officers. We're doing everything we can. Our call-off rates are lower, and we're pushing people through. I'd say, if anything, give yourself an extra 30 minutes, maybe. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, right now, we are doing very well.
It seems like those two times of the day, you know, once you get heavily into the morning rush hour, if you've got a flight leaving at 5:30,
yes,
and you're in line at 4:15, you're in good shape. But by the time it gets to be about 4:30, 4:35, 4:40, those 6 o'clock flight people are trying to make their way through, and the 6:15 people, why, then things start to get jammed up. And also in the middle of the day, mm-hmm. when you've got that big bank of flights that leave noonish, yep. one-ish, something like that. And so you've got people coming and going. Sid, how are your folks dealing with all of this? I mean, if there's one thing I can say about TSA people that I notice when I'm out there, they look kind of like regular folks.
They are regular folks, and they have to pay their bills like regular folks.
Exactly.
So it is a challenge. I got to tell you, I'm just impressed, very impressed with the commitment and the dedication of our officers. Like Dale was mentioning, our sick call's gone up, but not enough where we have to shut down checkpoints or lanes. Our officers are there every day. But the greatest, I think, impact that I'm seeing right now is the traveling public, the passengers. The various thank yous that we're receiving from our passengers as they come through, the airlines. Every other day or so, we're seeing somebody stop by, drop off pizza. The vendors are affording our officers extra discounts on their drinks, or they're giving them a free drink. And I think that helps. That really helps the Sacramento County Airport. I got to tell you, the relationship that we have, and they're committed to supporting us, and the officers see that every day. So I think with all that going around, our officers are noticing that everybody, everybody's like glad that we're here, and that's helping, you know, boost the morale. And that's, I think, the reason why our officers are coming
to work.
And
you mentioned some merchants are kind of stepping up and helping out too. So I'm guessing that that's maybe helping plug the gap and help put gas in the tank and food on the table and some things like that.
Go ahead. I would say, daily one meal that you don't have to buy, that's money that can go into the gas tank.
Or
money that buys food at home, you know, instead of at work. So, you know, and on addition to what Sid was saying, that the public in general has been incredibly gracious. People called us up and said, hey, we want to help. All of a sudden, they drop off massive platters of sandwiches and chips and stuff from that they bought at Costco. And Mark, we got to say thank you to you and your company and what you've done directly for our workforce. And you know, it started with donuts, and it's moved to these incredibly gracious gift of the gift cards. And, you know, and we have a group of teachers who are getting together and putting money with all these various teachers, various districts, putting money together to buy gas cards for our officers. And, it's incredible to see what the public in the Sacramento area is doing to help our officers.
Yep. Yep. Well, that's awesome. You know, and I think you guys, your leadership of your team, I think the fact that everybody is stepping up and your people are still showing up for work says a lot for you, your leadership. So, thank you for what you do. Any suggestions to the traveling public as they make their way through the TSA lines at a time when it may take a little bit longer? I know we've been through this before, but it never hurts to revisit a couple of going through the line tips to kind of expedite things.
We have a list here, guys, of some of the things that suggested. By the way, we're talking to Dale Keller and Sid Hanna from TSA here in Sacramento on the Travel Guys about the whole TSA situation in Sacramento and other cities and stuff like that, and what you can do and what some people are already doing, which is pretty cool, to make things a little easier on the folks who work for TSA. This was a list of what you can do to make things early. Arrive early, right? Definitely. I mean, you know, that's kind of goes without saying.
That's a given.
Yeah, that's a given. But you guys said an extra 15, maybe 30 minutes if you're leaving during rush hour?
Depending on the day. I mean, I would say the best advice, really, you can tell them 30, you can tell them 40. There's a My TSA app. Mm-hmm. It's a great app. It tells you what the current wait
and
time is.
I don't have that. I was a little embarrassed when I saw that. And
what a TSA app? Yeah. I don't know about that. Tell me more.
My phone out here, and I'm just quickly going. Let's see. Search here. TSA. Mm-hmm. Go at TSA app. Okay. So in a couple minutes, it'll be on my phone. When I get it on my phone, what will it tell me?
It'll tell you stuff about your local airport, the current wait times. Anything that you need to be advised of in advance, if there's any possible delays, but also it'll let you know your final destination, what's going on in your final destination. So that way, if you're going somewhere, you could also prepare on the way back how to travel.
So exactly what we were talking about, that, you know, your connecting points and things like that, so that you would be able to get.
Correct.
That is cool.
And
guys,
any news you can put on your notification. So if there's any immediate news that TSA needs to send out, let's say something's happening at one of our airports nationwide, mm-hmm. you can get the notification right away.
So fellow road warriors, make room on your phone for My TSA. It's downloading to mine right now, so that if this gets a little deeper, or
I'm going
to
put this right ahead of the wait line times on my Disney app.
On your
how long I have to wait for the Thunder Mountain.
The number one advice, if you want to help us reduce the lines and help us reduce our officers checking bags that they don't need to check on a regular basis, it would be the bottled water.
Ah.
It's our number one. I mean, mm-hmm. I know it's been talked about. I know the, you know, news, places make fun of the bottled water, but it's literally the number one thing that delays our officers because they have to screen extra bags.
So, before we went on the air, I was saying, yeah, you know, once a year or so, as I'm in the pre-check line where I'm supposed to know better, and then the guy says, we're going to have to check this bag, and I'm like, oh, damn, I forgot that bottle of water that was... So, really and truly, even if you're a road warrior, just taking that extra 30 seconds downstairs, because as we were talking... The shortage means that fewer people to go and check a bag and take that bothersome bottle of water out. And so, therefore, you have to wait longer to get somebody to check the bag, or the line slows down. Mm-hmm. And so that's critical. Here was an idea. I thought this was pretty cool, actually. Pack your carry-on smart toiletries and electronics on top of your carry-on bag. So when you get to TSA, your computer and your bag with your quart size bag with your toiletries are right there, and you can bounce it right out onto the belt.
Correct.
Yep.
Or into a tray or whatever. Be patient. Be nice. I guess we shouldn't have to have a critical situation for that, but it doesn't hurt. These people are working without a paycheck and struggling to get to work every day. If you said, "Gee, thanks for being here," instead of white, you know, and remembering that TSA people are not responsible for airline delays and the problems that you had with the air carrier at the desk downstairs and stuff like that, that you guys have nothing to do with that. We talked about double checking for things. And this was, I thought this was kind of interesting. One of their last things was pay attention. Put on your big boy or big girl pants when you're going to the airport and don't act like your kids. And then the other final suggestion they had was for those people who have TSA pre-check, this is exactly the situation that you have it for.
Correct.
Yep.
So that when all the rest of, when the common folks are waiting an hour, why then you're only waiting 20 minutes or 15 minutes. So, and you're still making your flight.
Yeah, correct.
So if ever there was a commercial for a pre-check, this is definitely it. Guys, we got a little less than a minute. Is there any last things that you would like, any last wisdom you'd like to share?
You know, not necessarily wisdom. I want to take this opportunity to thank all of the TSA officers, you know, nationwide, but specifically at Sacramento and our three other airports. They're showing up every day. They've got real stress, real impact from this. It is hard, but they're coming to work every day, and we greatly appreciate it.
Like I said, the Sacramento County Airport, the air carriers at the airport, the vendors, you guys, the travel guy, everybody's been, supportive and understanding, and that means a lot to us right now. So I want to say a big thank you.
Well, in this country right now, we're not always all in it together on everything, but on this one, we are. That's the good news. Coming up after the break, thank you guys for coming in on a Sunday afternoon. Clayton Whitehead joins us after the break with news on what to pack and how to travel long distance. We are the Travel Guys.
Here we are. It's Mark and Tom and Clayton, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, here to make you smarter
so
travelers.
So there's tornado warnings all over the place. And
crazy weather.
You know, that's really nice of those guys to come down on a Sunday. Sid brought his family with him. That was kind of neat. And it shows, but you know what? It shows why they're having less trouble, too, in Sacramento, because it's like you said, it's about leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And so these guys are down here on a Sunday taking advantage of an opportunity to go on the air and tell everybody that they're, you know, how things are going and stuff like that. And so that's one of the reasons they're not having a problem is because they're on top of it.
And they're real proud of their workforce.
Well, and I'm proud of the fact that that people around the community are stepping up and are helping out a little bit. So that's a great thing. Mr. Clayton Whitehead has joined us in the studio now. And you saw Come From Away also.
I did about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So what did you think?
It was one of the most unique and extraordinary pieces of theater I've ever seen.
Doesn't it make you want to go to Newfoundland and meet those people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just it was just 100 minutes of nonstop surprises. I mean, it's a funny story because you know how it starts and you know how it ends, but you don't know anything in between. And it was heartwarming and happy and sad. And it was everything you want, but no intermission. So don't drink a lot of Coca-Cola before you sit down.
And it will be in, I believe, and we talked to Richard Lewis is coming up next. And I was talking to Richard earlier this week about, you know, the schedule for next year, and he says it's already intact, and I was trying to get him to, you know, drop names or something, and he wouldn't.
Yes, but the word is that
Come From Away is part of
the 1920 season, which is going to happen at Memorial Auditorium downtown, because, you know, they're about to redo the Community Center Theater. The word is that Dear Evan Hansen and Come From Away are part of the new season.
Well, and Come From Away has a very minimalist set, so it strikes me that would go well for the Across the Street thing, where they may not have as many, you know, special tricks and stuff that they can do with the stage. So a simpler stage, although yesterday in San Francisco, I was telling Tom the turntable broke down that they were working on about 20 minutes before the end of the show. And anyways, they did a great job. We had a great time. Clayton, you are headed out on a cruise in Australia, which is what, 17, 18 days?
Good day, mate. Itself? Good day, mate.
Yeah.
I've been practicing that.
Is that the 18 days? Does that include the 10 days it takes to get there and get back?
It's only 15 hours out of LAX. We fly down and change planes there. And we'll be down there almost 3 weeks, a four-day
in
land
LA,
tour.
You'll be in LAX 3 weeks?
No, hopefully not in LAX 3 weeks. We'll be in Sydney for 4 days to kind of get our feet, as they say, and acclimate to the time zone. And then we'll begin a cruise that has a few ports on the Australian coast to in Tasmania. And then most of its focus is on the west coast of
New Zealand.
So it's 15,
15 hours, you said, from Los Angeles.
15 hours.
Okay. And you, despite your status in United and anybody that you know and stuff, you're back in the Great Unwashed section, I'm guessing.
Well, I hope to be at the front of the Great Unwashed.
I see. So economy plus.
Economy plus, yes.
But so you've got those few extra precious inches of legroom. But still, it's a long flight. It's two full body rotations. I mean, you know, I consider 8 hours to kind of be a you know, you get up, you've got your morning and your afternoon and then your evening and your night, and then you sleep for, then you start over. What are you doing to prepare for the flight, and what are you taking with you on the flight to help you get through 15 hours?
Well, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm 55 now. I will confess I have invested in compression stockings and compression shorts that I'll be wearing. Mm-hmm. I've had the shorts for a while. This will be my first time with the stockings. We'll see how that goes. And also, I do travel with a prescription sleep aid. I don't take a full dose. My goal is to have a solid 2-hour nap. And then I usually wake up and watch a movie, 2 hours, read a bit, make myself be awake, try to walk around if there's some place to go and you're not going to hinder the flight attendants too much. And then I put myself back down for about 2 more hours. I find for me, when I do these long hauls to Europe, or in this case, down under, if I sleep awake, sleep awake, sleep awake, I not only get a legitimate amount of rest, but I think I kind of psych my brain into, if not psyching it into the new time zone, I at least trick it into not knowing where we are or caring.
Okay.
I like that. Well, you know, listen, everybody's okay. What do you take with you on the, do you have any favorite snack or anything that you don't take on the plane?
I don't take liquids, gels, or pastes that exceed 3 ounces.
Very good.
Sid and Dale will be very proud of you. Oh, that's because you probably ran into them on the way out. Yeah.
Yeah. My big favorite snacks, I have to confess, are dried fruit and nuts. But of course, when you're going into an international destination, that's not so good because of the agricultural inspections and whatnot. So I usually still take a little bit, but just enough that I know I will eat it while on board.
Uh-huh. So now you're going on this cruise ship, a Holland America cruise ship, I believe, if
yes,
I'm correct.
And you've got
30 sports leisure travelers with you, and this is going to be like a 17-day trip. You can only take one large suitcase and a carry-on. So cruise ships are not as formal in their attire and their dress as before. So tell us a little bit about, give us a couple of ideas of things that you take or things that you've, by experience, that you've taken and you didn't need, so therefore you don't take them anymore.
Well, one thing regarding the formal wear and whatnot, back in the day, you know, we all took tuxedos and suits and all this. They don't do that anymore. However, they do still have formal nights. New Profit Center, they have a tuxedo rental
on board.
I will not be imbibing in that. I am taking one blazer, a couple dress shirts, three or four ties so I can do some mix and matching on the more dressy nights. But, you know, the other thing is we're going in January. That's their summer. So mainly I'm just taking T-shirts and shorts for daytime wear. I think that'll be appropriate.
So you'll have that that look with the blazer and the tie. And the shorts.
And the shorts. Yeah. Like in Bermuda.
And will you wear flip-flops, or do you
no,
you got some deck shoes?
I've got my sandals already in the line up on the couch, preparing for packing.
Okay,
but to answer your question about a carry-on bag, actually, when I walk out of here, I'm going to go and shop for a new one.
Okay.
Because
where are you going to shop, just for fun?
I'm going right over here where there's a Marshalls and a Ross in the same shopping center.
Okay.
I have bought my last two sets of luggage there.
Because you're a reasonably frugal shopper.
I'm a very frugal shopper.
Yes.
But I actually...
Like disposable luggage.
Yes, yes.
No offense.
Well, at least he's not going to Walmart.
Well, you know, they say the cobbler's kids go barefoot. I actually dared to measure my carry-on bag the other day, and it's oversized.
Well, and John Holloway, who, you know, was our go-to guy for many years and now is not in business anymore.
Yeah.
And so,
see, John used to think about all this for me. I didn't have to worry about it.
Right. You went to John's shop and you said, I need a carry-on bag because I'm going on an international trip. He wouldn't sell you one that didn't meet the criteria.
Right.
But, of course, the criteria has changed a little bit from year to year.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes a little bit different for an international flight than for a domestic, even on the same airline. Be all that as it may, I'm going to buy a new carry-on bag and I will have at least two changes of clothes in it and small portions of all my essential toiletries.
That's a good item. You're going all the way across an ocean, 15 hours, you know. I mean, you've got a connecting flight.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through Los Angeles, there's 80 gazillion pieces of luggage at any given point in time. Somebody, you got 30 people in your group. Somebody's
actually 35, so that's five more bags.
So somebody's bag might not make it.
Yeah, if the bag is misdirected just because of the distance, it's going to take it a few days to get there, best case scenario.
So what do you take in that carry-on bag just in case?
Well, I take a couple changes of clothes, and I tell you, one of the reasons I take them is because when I land, I might want to freshen up then and there before I've been reunited with my big bag. So I like having always one extra change of clothes, but for this, I'll double down and take two extra changes of clothes. The toiletry items, and of course, all my electronic gadgets. They'll all be in the carry-on.
You guys are going to Sydney before you take off on your cruise. I know you're familiar with the itinerary. You've been to Australia before, right?
No, I am an Australian virgin. I've been to New Zealand, but never Australia or Tasmania.
I think that's an airline. So you've never been there before. What of the itinerary, what are you looking forward to the most?
Well, you know what? When I was putting our land package together, which has nothing to do with the cruise, I put it together as somebody who's never been before. And I was like, okay, you're only going to have this bite of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to do? Well, I want to see penguins and puffins. I want to see a koala bear. I want to see a kangaroo. I want to see aboriginal. I want to have an aboriginal experience. I want to see the outback. I want to eat seafood. So, I mean, I really have created for me, and hopefully everybody else will enjoy it, this first-timer's experience where I have jammed in as much as the greater Sydney area can offer in terms of Australian experience.
We should mention that you're going to do this next year, too, because this sold out so quickly that some of the people who wanted to go with you this year didn't have the opportunity to go.
Yes, we're doing it again.
And those that are going next year are going to have all that experience that you had to, you'll be able to make whatever changes. And in fact, we're really looking forward to when you get back joining us again here on the Travel Guys. And,
yes.
And tell us how it went.
And I'll bring my photo of me hugging a koala the koala hugging me.
Be careful because those are like the stinkiest animals on the planet.
I don't care.
Yeah, well, just make sure you have an extra change of clothes or wear the shirt that day that you already wore the day before.
The one that I flew over in.
Koalas are definitely. Clayton, good luck on your trip. Have a wonderful time in New Zealand and Australia. And as Tom said, we look forward to, when you get back in a few weeks, having you come on and tell us which ports of call you thought, where were the highlights were, and what thing you took with you that you absolutely didn't need.
Clothespins. Oh, you asked me before what's the most essential thing to take on a trip.
Uh-huh.
Clothespins.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Clothespins.
Richard Lewis joins us. We're going to talk about Carol Channing right after the break, right here on The Travel Guys. Thanks, Clayton. Wanted to take a couple of minutes out of our regular programming here on The Travel Guys, because we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, to recognize and talk about someone we lost last week that is really dear to all of our hearts, and that would be Carol Channing. Mark, you managed to line us up with somebody who knew Carol quite well.
Well, that's it. Carol made some appearances here in Sacramento, and who better to talk a little bit about Carol Channing than our own Mr. Theater in Sacramento, Richard Lewis. Richard, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Well, thank you very much, Travel Guys. It's always a pleasure to be able to speak to you and to your audience.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We have a couple of three theater goers in our group here online, we think. So, Richard, Carol Channing, the original Dolly and one of the great talents ever to grace the stage, you had some opportunities to interact with her. Share a little bit, if you would.
1986, the national tour of Legends, which was a play, came to Sacramento, and that starred Carol Channing with Mary Martin, and along with Gary Beach, who we've had another long association with. And then later, we had the opportunity to present the national tour of Hello, Dolly, starring Carol Channing. And it was during that production, she was very funny. She was overcoming some kind of a cold, and she actually turned to the audience at one point, and she said, "I'm recovering from a cold. But don't worry, it's the sound guy's problem." And And then
you could see that. You could see that. I mean, really, you can.
That was her.
If you ever saw her on the stage, she was prone to those moments of spontaneity.
Well, and the show lent itself to that kind of thing. It was, you know, with Hello Dolly, that's the kind of piece that it was. And then we had the other wonderful opportunity in 2009. She and her husband, Harry Kalijian, had a foundation, the goal of which was providing musical instruments to children in schools. And so we had a joint fundraiser at the Wells Fargo Pavilion. And so she was there along with Carol Cook and Joyce Amy and, of course, and Joanne Worley, who's been at Music Circus many times.
Yep.
And so we had that opportunity. That's when I was allowed to actually walk Carol Channing down the aisle at the Wells Fargo Pavilion, not for a wedding. It was just to get her on stage.
Yeah. But you remember it pretty well. So I'm guessing that it must have been a fairly special moment.
Absolutely. It was a very special moment. And I know that the folks that were able to attend the event were very pleased. You know, the Wells Fargo Pavilion is such an intimate stage, even though it's a 2,200 seat theater. But it's such an intimate stage that everybody got a really close up opportunity to visit with Carol Channing. And it was a fundraiser for a wonderful, worthy cause, as you know, the whole arts education system needs so much help these days.
I was in the audience for that, my friend, and I will agree with you that it was any time that you get an opportunity to do those talk back things with real stars, or I was lucky enough to get to attend one with Anthony Bourdain in San Francisco a couple of years ago, and those talk back things are so special. Richard, thanks for a couple memories there. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, especially since I know we have a lot of Sacramento theater fans who listen to this program regularly. Can you give us any little update on the facility situation?
The facility situation is actually in great shape. The Memorial Auditorium will, in fact, be reopening coming up in May in time for the graduations, and will certainly be ready for us to begin our 2019-2020 season of Broadway tours. And the facility is being brought up to a level that can handle the shows that we regularly bring to the Community Center Theater. We're very excited about that. It's going to be different for the audience. The auditorium is not the same building as the Community Center Theater, but it is for just one season, and then we'll move back into the newly transformed Community Center Theater, starting with the 2020-2021 season. I have the 19-20 season already booked. We'll be announcing that in April, and we think it's a very, very strong season with several shows that the audience is definitely going to want to see. And we're already working on for 2020-2021, what that season will be back in the transformed Community Center Theater. And I'm even working on the 21-22 season. So I'm doing it. I don't retire until June 30th of 2023, so don't worry. I'll have it all worked out.
Well, you can't retire until Hamilton comes to town, so that's just keep that on your list, buddy.
Never fear.
Yeah,
I can't say anything more than that.
I understand. You're playing your cards close to the chest as usual. I'm glad to hear about the auditorium, and I hope that folks will consider it a kind of a special deal to be able to go over there into that old wonderful building. Lots of folks in town have memories that are connected to that building. I certainly have my share of them, including big time wrestling and all kinds of exciting stuff. So we'll move across the street with you for a year, and then we'll move back to a new theater, and life will be good. I mean, after all, we survived the swamp coolers. So, and life got better. So why not think it can happen again? Richard, thank you so much for your time. I know you're on the road and away from home, and I really appreciate your thoughts on Carol and a little bit of an update I know our theater fans will like. Thank you. Safe travels, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, that says it all right there. Dolly will never go away.
Yep. Great stories. And I really thank Richard for it. He was really busy this week, and he really didn't have time for that.
but he made time for us. Thank you very much. We had a bed bug report, which I was reminded of because Mr. Clayton was talking about bed bugs during the commercial break, but we didn't get to that today, so we'll get to that next week. And also, we promised to get into the mailbag, and I got about 47,000 things that people have written me in the mailbag, some of them pretty interesting, but we didn't have time for that either. So next week is the New York Times Travel Show interviews. We always hustle around the floor and get a lot of interesting stuff there, send it back to you, and you work your radio magic and make it all happen.
Well, the New York Times Travel Show, is it not the... the largest travel show of its type in the world?
They have about 30,000 people, about 10,000 for the travel day, and then about 20,000 the public in the 2 days who attend all of that. So it's going to be quite a big show. So Mr. Clayton, off to Australia and New Zealand.
Yes, I'm out of here.
And we will.
Good luck shopping for that carry-on over there at Ross and Marshall.
Yeah, that's
keep it under $29.95. Yeah. Okay?
I will do my best.
Yeah, try to get one that you can use on a second trip. Is always a thought too. You know, I mean, sometimes you get what you pay for and that kind of stuff. So, yes, waving at me. That means 30 seconds still right to go. So we will be back next week from the New York Times Travel Show. I remind you to dance like nobody's watching, Mr. Thomas.
All right. Don't forget now, visit us at TravelGuysRadio.com. Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next time.